Good morning. Again, it's good to see you all. It's good to be with you this morning. Those that are listening online, we're glad that you have joined us as well. As is mentioned, David's out of town, Mike's out of town, so you're stuck with me. But I'm thankful to be here and to have this opportunity to speak before you. If I were to ask you to describe joy, how would you describe it? Some people would say happy, some people would say feeling good, and other things. The Oxford Dictionary defines it this way: a feeling of great pleasure and happiness, a feeling of pleasure or happiness that comes from success, good fortune, or a sense of well-being. Did you notice there that I tried to pause between those words? Because last time someone told me that I talked too fast, and so I'm trying to slow down. Now, I don't want to slow down too far, for I'm a Georgia boy raised in the hills of North Georgia. If I get really slow, you won't be able to understand me. So I have to keep it going a little bit. But here's an interesting fact. Now, granted, take the time frame that I'm going to give you here, and then I will give a further explanation. But researchers found that from between 1957 and 1990, income levels in the U.S. doubled. But there was no correlation between income levels and happiness or joy. As a matter of fact, during that same period, reports of depression actually increased tenfold. Incidents of divorce, suicide, alcoholism, and drug abuse also rose dramatically. So income went up, other problems were magnified. So this morning I did a quick Google search, and we all know Google, so you take some of it as it is, but reputable sources had that from August 20 through February of 21 in the United States, 41.5% of adults have anxiety or depression. So that's 4 out of 10. So where is our joy? This morning we're going to talk about joy primarily from a Christian perspective. So what is the source of your joy? What makes you joyous? I'm going to give you some days that make me joyous, or that I have joy when I remember. 29 August 1988, that's the day that I became a father. 8 October 1994, that's the day I obeyed the gospel. 2 August 2011, Diane's smiling because that's the day I married her. 1 May 2014, the day I retired from active duty from the Air Force. 14 October 2014, the day I become a grandfather. And 14 August 2022, that's today. It brings me joy because we're here together and able to worship our God together. So this day is just as important as any of the others. And we talked about this morning in Bible class the love of God. And it's amazing, his love, and that we have the opportunity to be here and worship him. Now, what makes you happy? Some work? Yeah, not many people say that. School, friends, grandchildren. Deborah, Terry, that make you happy? Yes, joyous. They have their shepherd back there. Worshiping on the Lord's Day should be a happy, joyous occasion for us. Even though Sunday mornings we're running late. It happens to all of us occasionally, but when we get here, we still should have joy in our heart. So, in today's world of turmoil, division, strife, and I'll say it, just plain old ugliness, we need to focus on joy and the joy of being a Christian and how we're to live with that joy. Christians should be happy, cheerful, merry, joyful people. I'm going to bring something up that I know those of you that are older remember. How many remember the Winnie the Pooh series? How many remember Eeyore? How many can relate to Eeyore? How many Christians should act like Eeyore? None. But a lot of people do. Eeyore walked around, "Well, Pooh, it's just one of them days. It's all my fault. Everything's awful. It's terrible." And that's the way he saw every day. I remember when Brittany was a teenager, we went and saw the new Eeyore movie, and it was hilarious. He lost his tail. And every time they tried to put his tail on him and it didn't work, he says, "I knew it wouldn't work. It's all my fault." And so he never saw anything happy, ever. Never had joy. He was always gloomy, always down. Everything was a struggle. Do you know any Christians like that? Have you ever seen any Christian or a Christian that has never had joy or appears to have joy or never shares joy with anybody else? Life is just terrible. What is the effect of that Christian on other people in the world? Do they want what you have? Absolutely not. They don't want that. We should be the opposite of that. We should be the one to bring joy to those around us, because we have something that we talked about this morning in class. The love of God has provided salvation for us. And if we've obeyed the gospel and become a child of God, we should have joy in our hearts. And we should share that and be that for other people. Our glass should be half full, not half empty. Not naive, don't get me wrong there, but our outlook should be positive all the time, not negative. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Turn there if you have your Bibles, please. It said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." If we are in Christ, we're blessed. We are blessed indeed. That alone is something to be joyous about. If we had nothing else in the world, but we realize that we are in Christ and we have the spiritual blessings that are in Him, that should bring us joy. Do we take time to really think about and focus on our blessings? Like we talked about this morning in class, the love of God. When I was doing that study, yes, I think about the love of God and I thank Him for what He's given me and what He's done for me. But I'll be honest with you, until I took time to do that study, I didn't really focus and concentrate upon those wonderful things that the Word tells us about how He loves us, how great His love is, how sacrificial His love is, how forgiving His love is. As Christians, we should have those mindsets all the time. We have all spiritual blessings in Christ. So that should give us joy. Philippians 3, verses 1 and 3. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me is not grievous, but for you it is safe. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." We rejoice in Christ, not the flesh. The things of this world may bring you temporary joy, but they will fade. All of those nice new cars in the parking lot, they will get old. Most of them will get wrecked, especially if you live in the Montgomery area. They will get hit at least once. Our money will get spent. Your new home, sooner or later, will require maintenance. Your friends will forsake you. Things of this world may bring temporary joy, but we should have no confidence in those things. We are to have confidence and rejoice in Christ. Our Lord is always there. The Lord never promises a life of ease, continual prosperity, a life free of challenges or temptations. He didn't promise that. But He did promise us that He would be here for us, He would never forsake us, and He would give us a way out of the temptation that's provided to us. We sing a song. And it's the first song that comes on when the In Search of the Lord's Way program comes on every Sunday. Any of you watch that program? The song is, "I know the Lord will find a way for me." And that's something we should truly believe and live. We know the Lord will find a way for us. It goes on to say, "If we walk in heaven's light, shun the wrong and do the right, the Lord will find a way for me." So that should bring us joy, knowing that our Lord will not forsake us. He will provide what we need. 1 Peter 4, 13, 14. "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified." So we are to have exceeding joy because Christ lived a perfect life and died for us. He provided an opportunity for us to enter his glory. Think about that. We get to enter the glory of God when this life is over if we're faithful, because Christ loved us enough to die for us. But we must live that life because it says you will be glad with exceeding joy when he returns. If you're not living that way, you won't have joy. Think about it. Are you ready for Christ's return today? Would there be joy or eternal sadness? Because those are the two options. So you either have joy or you don't. So are you ready today? Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope. We have hope in the Lord. God has provided that hope in his Son and our Savior. We have eternal hope. Things may not work out in this world. It may not be how we want them to be. It may not end the way we want it to end. But understand that things will be taken care of in eternity. And I want to thank Matthew for the songs that he picked this morning. They go great with the lesson, and we didn't corroborate on those at all. It was good. Yeah, Matthew's touching his. I know. He did good on picking those out, but tempted and tried. We sing about, why do things work out the way they do? Sometimes we may not answer or get that answer, but we know in eternity things will be as they should be if we're faithful. So that ought to bring us joy, knowing that in the end, things will be as they should. Christians should be a joyous people. What are some of the responsibilities that we as Christians have that will help us to maintain our joy? 1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. A joyful Christian will want to be Christ-like and follow after righteousness, because we realize what he's done for us, so we will want to follow him and be like him. We will want to be obedient to his word. But to be obedient to his word means we need to know his word. We need to study it, meditate upon it, learn it. We will follow him and remain faithful. We'll seek his kingdom, Matthew 6:33. It's an active thing. And the last song that we sang before the lesson was, we will work till Jesus comes. So we will seek his kingdom. We will work toward doing those things. And then the song before that song was, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom? So it's work that we will be doing. We will not follow a multitude to do evil. We will be the leader of doing right, not a follower of doing wrong. Do you understand the difference in that? The leader of doing what's right, so others will follow us, not a follower of those that are doing wrong. We will strive to be loving, patient, godly in all things at all times, even when we're driving. Right? Loving, patient, godly. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord with a pure heart. We will put aside our personal desires and follow God with a pure heart. Purity, being like God and following him. You can't follow yourself or be full of yourself and be pure. Brother Green talked to me after class. You know, we were talking about love. And someone said that the people of the world don't have love. Jimmy said, no, the people of the world have plenty of love for self. Think about that. If people loved others as much as they love themselves, this world would be a better place, wouldn't it? Good comment, Jimmy, and thanks for sharing that with me. We won't push the envelope on sin. David had a good lesson on lust and how we are to stay away from those things. We won't get close to that line to see if we'll get burned or see if we will go over. We won't even go there. The Bible says abstain from all appearance of evil. So we will not go there. We'll strive each day to maintain a pure heart. Now, the third core value for the Air Force, the first one is integrity first. Second one is service before self. The third one is excellence in all we do. And it's interesting, I have a lot of debate with people in the Air Force about that one, because I see it more as excellence in all we choose to do. Because if it's something we want to do that the Air Force wants us to do and we approve of it and we like it, we will give 100% and try to be excellent at it. But if it's something the Air Force asks us to do that we don't want to do or we don't like, we do just enough to get by. But what does excellence in all we do mean in everything we do? So as a Christian, we are to give excellence in all we do with a joyful attitude, a joyful heart, to be the example of those around us so that others can see that we're striving every day to live our lives the best that we can. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. So we should desire to continue in good works. Notice the word there, continue in doing good works. So if we're not doing good works, we need to start. There are plenty of works for us to do. Opportunities are out there for us to find those good works to do. We should desire to help one another, bear one another's burdens. We've talked about that in our Wednesday night classes, how we are to love one another, to share one another's burdens, to help each other get through this time. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Do we look for opportunities to serve? Romans 12, 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, you will reap coals of fire on his head. Is that easy? No. You know, in the military, when we're fighting wars overseas or wherever we're at, hopefully they're all overseas now, but we have a requirement to take care of the enemy if we capture them or if they're wounded. We are to provide medical care to them, food and water to them. And under the Geneva Convention, if they're wounded and there's some other parameters, you can't just go out and kill them. There's requirements that you have to do for the enemy. And God's word tells us that in this life, our enemies, we are to pray for them, feed them, give them drink, and help them. Because as we said in Bible class this morning, what does the enemy have in common with us? A soul that needs saving. Their soul is just as important as ours. So a joyful Christian will do what he or she can to even help the enemy. James 2:8 says, if you fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. We should love everyone. And I think our class reiterated that fact completely this morning. So hopefully we will leave here today with a self-evaluation of how do we love? Are we doing the things that we should as Christians? Are we loving as Christians should? And if not, thankfully, we're still alive. We have an opportunity to make things better. We can start today and continue to improve as we go forward. We have an obligation to share the good news of Christ. And as I said, Matthew led us in, are you sowing the seed of the kingdom? Matthew 28:19 says, teach all creation. James 5:19-20, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. We must take this obligation seriously. If we are truly full of joy, people will want to know why. They'll come to you. How can you be so joyous and happy regardless of the situation and what's going on? And that will give us a great opportunity to talk to them about Christ, the love of God, the great love of God that we talked about this morning, why you have joy, why you're happy, even when things around you are not great, because you know you have eternal life. And you know that they can have eternal life if they're willing to obey. We've lost a lot of church members over time. Every congregation does. Delinquent church members, those that fall away, those that have lost their joy. This tells us that we need to reach out to them. We need to be that conduit to help them, hopefully, get that joy back and want to be a part of us again. So let's work on that. Let's work on those, not only the lost, that the alien sinner that have never obeyed the gospel, but how about those that have obeyed and fallen away? We have an obligation to them. And if we're joyful about our Christianity, we will be happy to see them back. And we will want to see them back with us. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. We can't all be apostles and prophets, but we can all be joyous teachers. We can come in contact. We know enough, if we're baptized believers, we know enough to at least get somebody to that point. We can teach them and talk to them and work with them. We share many things. You know, it's interesting just to sit and listen, even at work or even here. If someone has a good experience at a restaurant, what do they normally do? Tell all of their friends. If you had a good experience at a mechanic, what do you normally do? You tell folks, hey, if you have a problem, this is who you need to go see. But if we have the joy of a Christian that should have, do we talk to people and say, hey, let me tell you about the joy that I have and why I have it? I know I'm not as forthcoming with that as I should be as compared to the other things. So that's something I need to work on. I need to be able to share my joy better because I'm quick to share other things. Why don't I share this like I do those? Something I have to think about. And finally, how do we maintain our joy? Because we have it, how do we keep it? John 17, 17, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Psalm 119, 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. And John 12, 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. God's word is true. No supplement needed. The word is pure. We can gain joy from reading it. Like this morning in class, I hope you receive joy by reading how much God loves you and how much he loves me, how much he loves us and what he did for us. We get joy from teaching others, from living the life that we should be living to serve Christ. Let's make a better effort to work and do those things that we need to do. You know, joy is hard when we're struggling, when things in our life aren't going the way they should be going. Life's issues, when we have health problems, job problems, family problems, other things. Life happens to all of us. And I know it's tough to maintain our joy when life throws those trials our way. But as Christians, we need to remember these things. We know the outcome. It may be tough now, but we know who has the final victory. Douglas will play baseball later today. We don't know the score of that game, do we? We won't know till it's over. But as Christians, we know the final score. Guess what? We win if we're faithful. We win. We know we have a Father that loves us, gave his Son for us. We know that he will provide a way. We know that this world is not our home. We sing that. This life is temporary. What did Jesus say? In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare one for you. There's a room for you if you're faithful. We know that. It's okay to have things in this life too, to be joyous with the things that we have, but we need to remember where true joy lies. What does the Bible tell us? Store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, not here on this earth. We know that if we live faithful, we can have a home in heaven with the Lord and all the saints. We know that. That's a fact. If we live faithful and do what we need to do. We know that we can control our attitude and our joy. Who controls your attitude? You do. So all these people that say, you know what, Tom put me in a bad mood today. No, Tom didn't. You allowed Tom to do it. You control your attitude. And as Christians, we control whether we have joy or not, depending on how we live and what we think. You know the VBS song, I have joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Then we say, where? And the kids say, down in my heart. And we keep reiterating that over and over and over and over. So we need to remember these things. We talked about Jesus Loves Me in Bible class, how sometimes we look at these songs as children's songs. Folks, we adults need them too. We need to reemphasize to ourselves that we have joy down in our heart because God loves us. Let's approach our daily life with the joy that a Christian should. Let's go back to Winnie the Pooh characters. Who's the one that's happy all the time? Tigger. He's bouncing around. Life is always good. Not Eeyore. So be happy. Be joyful. You choose it. You can be. And if you're not, open God's word and read the promises that he has for you that will help you change your attitude to one of joy. But to have that joy, you have to be a Christian. So the question is, are you a Christian today? Do you have the joy and hope of eternal life? If you don't, we can fix that today. You can change that today. God is willing and ready to save you today. Are you a Christian that has lost the joy that you once had? Have the things of the world got you down and kept you from living the life that you should? Has it zapped your joy from you? If so, God can restore that to you today. We will be happy to pray with you, for you. If there's anything you need today, please come forward as we stand and sing.